Come and gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that my Bob Dylan impersonation isn't possibly as good as it could be, and yet also admit that you're listening to Non-Stopical.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Lawrence, good. Hello.
Hello, hello. I think your Bob Dylan impression sounded like you were just holding your nose.
Well, and I wasn't. That's the trick. Hi. Courtney, hello.
I think it sort of lacked the political gravitas that Bob Dylan tends to bring to his work, but I think the pitch and tone were pretty much spot on.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, look, obviously, it's a, I believe I agree with you, Courtney. It's a relevant observation. You know, the times, they are a-changing constantly. Time is an ever-flowing stream. Part of that stream would be whatever the thing you're about to talk about.
Yes, Andrew. I actually went to see Andrew Denton's documentary film yesterday called God on My Side, which, in case you don't know, is actually a film where he goes to interview people who are at the Christian Broadcasters Conference in Texas.
Oh, that's my favourite conference.
Was the Polyphonic Spree there?
No, they weren't, unfortunately. Aww,
it's Texas, though.
No, it was the Gaylord Texan Convention Centre.
Ah,
no way.
It was genuinely called
excellent.
That.
Excellent.
More Lord than gay, though, I must say. And it's, you know, it's basically all about fundamentalist Christians in the US and how they're sort of leading modern thought about it. The most interesting thing is when Andrew Denton asks his subjects about whether they believe God is actually on their side and how they know. Because, you know, most religious people believe that God is on their side and can, you know, find any ways to justify it, ergo war. Basically, my question to you guys is, do you think God is on your side, and what are your reasons for or against?
Big question.
Wow.
Whew. Oh, it's a big one, I know.
Can I say, God must be on my side?
Mm.
Oh, one simple bit of reasoning here. I've got a PlayStation instead of leprosy.
Oh, God's on your side.
Yeah, well and truly.
Is it one or the other for the big man?
Well, if you look in the Old Testament, it seems to be.
Is the PlayStation in the Old Testament?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, it's called manna from heaven in those days, but yeah. You get what they're pointing at.
Yeah. Right.
And the three wise men have myrrh, frankincense, and Xbox.
Yes.
I think maybe Santa's on your side there, Andrew.
Yeah, or your parents. Yeah.
I'm a bit of an agnostic, and I think God was mainly on my side when I was a little kid, because I used to pray a lot when I was little. Like, I prayed to God that it wouldn't rain on my birthday party.
Yep.
Didn't work then. It doesn't work now.
No?
So God is probably not on my side now.
Oh, just because he rains on your birthday party.
Yeah.
But, you know, your sacrifice is making life better for the farmers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. True. It's a big question, Courtney. I mean, the thing is, like, I genuinely believe that God loves all of us. The problem is he also gave us free will. The problem with free will is we're all shitty to each other.
Yeah,
good point. But I'm basically an agnostic like Lawrence, but the God that I make up, I think, has to be on my side. Because if I just invent a God and he's not on my side, how mental am I? That's bad. It's not, you know, prescriptive in terms of the way I behave either. I just sort of think, don't be a cow, which obviously means I'm not Hindu, really.
Yeah.
I don't really like to think of him being on anyone's particular side, but I think he likes to give me credit when good things happen, you know? Like,
yeah.
I get good meals and good haircuts and good movies, and I blame myself if things go wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, which sounds like we're in more of a dating relationship than a sort of date.
It's more of a casual thing with God, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's probably seeing other people, you know.
He sees a lot of people.
He's doing. Yeah.
Exactly.
So if you get like a tasty butter chicken from your favourite curry place,
yep.
Do you then think, oh, God, thanks, dude?
Yeah, I do. I think, well, let this see. It's all right. It's going to be okay. God says it's going to be cool.
Then you get a tummy ache the next day.
And then I go, well, see, God made it disguised as perfectness, and it's actually evil.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because I would think God made me this delicious butter chicken curry, and I was sinful in scoffing it all down far too quickly.
Sometimes I think that chicken korma is cooked in mysterious ways.
Possibly is, actually. But, like, I can even spin the way, you know, God, you know, is behaving towards me. Like, if I'm watching Australian Idol and the people I actually like get voted off, I sort of wonder if maybe God isn't on my side. But then I think actually maybe it's God's way of saving me from burning in fires of eternal reality TV show Damnation. So, you know, I think, you know, I actually had a dream last night too. Ooh. Which I like to describe more as a vision from God.
Yes, that's what we call them in the religious game.
That's right. And it was actually George Bush was in a car.
Oh.
and he was busted by the press making out with a transvestite.
Wow.
Thereby, he was rendered sort of not the president anymore, and it was completely over. I woke up really happy, and I thought that was God's way of telling me it's all going to be all right.
Non-stoppical.
Living inside your computer.
Continuing in the great words of Bob Dylan, I ain't going to work on Maggie's farm no more. Why not? Because it's full of drought. What I mean by, you know, for international listeners and the one that know, Australia all over, we are in the grip of drought at the moment. And there's a big problem. The farmers' union isn't pulling its weight, especially in South Australia. Now, South Australia is the home of a hugely powerful farmers' union. The only problem is they spend far too much of their time developing delicious iced coffee than they do trying to help the farmers in the drought.
Yeah.
For our international listeners, the finest iced coffee in Australia is supposedly farmers' union iced coffee.
Why don't they just pour the iced coffee onto the soil?
Yeah.
You don't get good zucchinis or aubergines way. Yeah, you're not a farmer, I can tell, Lawrence.
And you can't make cows drink their own milk. That's just
that's
cruel.
True. That's true.
And if you do give all the farm animals coffee flavours, you know, they're just going to go crazy, get jittery, and you know, it's not going to be right anymore. Yeah. The pork tastes weird, I assure you.
Mmm, coffee pork.
The point is, guys, in South Australia, right, they're crazy about Farmers Union iced coffee. Now, it's a flavoured milk.
This is not advertising, by the way.
No. But it's advertised everywhere in South Australia, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, here in Victoria, which is where we live,
yep. We
see flavoured milk as flavoured milk. It's a tasty drink. It's not Manly, though, like it is in South Australia. You know, in South Australia, ads for flavoured milk sort of go, like, they're as mannish as they can be. I saw one where these guys are drinking iced coffee, and then a girl walks by, she's got a tool belt with metal things on. They turn on a giant magnet, pick her up into the sky. It's hilarious. That's what iced coffee does, because it's a man's drink. I also saw one which goes, you can get it fixing a car. You can get it building an army barracks. You can't get it dancing to the Scissor Sisters. As a matter of fact, I've got it now. An iced coffee and a massive erection for girls. That's how Manly it's considered. Whereas in Victoria, it's very much like flavoured milk, rather. Now I'm off to smoke a man. I just find it absolutely incongruous. How can flavoured milk be considered so manly?
It's the fluid nature of gender roles, Andrew.
Yeah.
But it's never considered womanly, flavoured milk, whereas really, women are the milkmakers.
That's a really good point.
Can you make bumper stickers that say "Women are the milkmakers"? I'll totally put one on my car.
I'd love it if I was a baby and I could suck on a teat and chocolate milk came out of one and iced coffee. Is that weird?
Yeah, no, you can still do it now. If you get yourself a glove, like a plastic glove, and put milk in it.
I don't want to hear this.
Cut the end off. It's all on. Delicious and plasticky.
Yeah. I feel like
a
man.
Like, this frustrates me. Like, in what way does iced coffee mean man? I can't stand it in Congress advertising. Have you guys ever come across this sort of thing?
Yeah. I think some ads can be quite gendered. Like, when I was little, I didn't know what tampons were. So when I saw all the tampon ads, I thought, I want to have some because it makes me look so confident. I look so happy in those ads.
You love horse riding and hanging out with girls.
Yeah. I love
and
walking
clubs even.
Yeah, walking barefoot along the beach holding my stilettos in my hands while in my prom dress. It made me feel so confident if I bought some tampons. I didn't know what they were. They're highly gendered ads.
Yeah, they are highly gendered ads. How dare they? I saw an ad for the Channel 9 TV show The Big Questions the other week, and I thought, well, this will be good. Channel 9's going to solve climate change. They're going to solve the problems about the war in Iraq. And then I put it on. Who do you like better, Jennifer Aniston or Angelina Jolie?
Oh, gee. Those are the big questions.
Quite frankly, that's even an irrelevant question because Brad Pitt picked Angelina. You know, it's all over.
Well, I guess you could get Jennifer Aniston if she's in the market.
She what?
No, she got Vince Vaughn.
Oh, but, you know, Brad Pitt or Vince Vaughn. Who's the loser, lady?
Oh, gee.
You are. But the point is, it's not a big question.
No, that's true.
It's barely even a question.
Yeah, it's barely even a question at all.
Yeah.
It's just who's hotter.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a good question.
It is a question.
But it's not a big question, is my point.
No.
You know, the big question is iced coffee. Blokes or chicks? That's a big question.
I think they can advertise to both. They shouldn't focus on it. Because I got to say, I had a Farmers Union iced coffee when I was in South Australia. I was sucking it through a straw, and I was just imagining the carton saying to me, "What are you doing sucking me through a straw, you poof?" The only way I could see to drink the thing properly was to tear it open at the top and just shove the entire carton into my face. Who dumb said that non-stoppicle? Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. Do you play any other kinds of music? Can you at least play another instrument? Because frankly, the tambourine is frustrating and boring.
Okay, I play triangle.
Yeah, well, you know, good. Because when I say play a song for me and all you do is shaky shaky, it's just boring. You know, maybe I'm a bit of a music snob. Maybe that's the problem.
Yes, because I find we've come a long way with tolerance, accepting difference in society. But when it comes to music, it's very personal. Like, I hate people smoking, but I can tolerate smoke in a bar. In fact, sometimes I let it get into my clothes and hair. But when there's crap music playing at that bar, I have to leave the venue.
So you can tolerate getting cancer eventually, but you can't tolerate bad music. That's that what you're saying?
I prefer cancer to, say, I don't know, techno.
Yeah, to hard NRG. I agree entirely, Lawrence.
I was on a car trip yesterday, and we were going past the palace in St Kilda, and I made a passing comment. Oh, yeah, I saw Nirvana play there back in 92. It was February the 1st. It was a Saturday afternoon all-ages gig. I was wearing shorts. I almost died in the mosh pit. I was a music snob. Late in the car, I heard myself saying, They Might Be Giants. You've never heard of They Might Be Giants? Come on, they're an indie pop band. You know, have you never heard of Build a Birdhouse in Your Soul? I spent the next 10 minutes trying to explain that Dr. Worm wasn't a real doctor, but is an actual worm. Am I a music snob?
Yes, you are.
Is it a bad thing? Right.
Everyone should know who They Might Be Giants are. Without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt. Who, what, name names, Lawrence? I want to create my own communist-style pogrom. I want to deal with this problem properly.
Well, what do you mean?
Does that make me a music snob?
No.
No, it's fine. It makes you some sort of wild-scale killer. But that's fine. The thing is, I agree with you. Like, if I meet someone, I go, you're a bit friendly, you're a bit cute, you're a bit nice, and I go, yes, I really like techno, we can never be together. But on the other hand, my brother, right, has the worst taste in music of anyone I've ever met.
That's true. Who's his favourite band?
Oh, Huey Lewis and the News or Aqua.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He loves Aqua.
What's wrong with your brother?
He and I are complete opposites. I like albums and sort of soft, slow indie pop. He likes pop music and singles. We're just the complete opposite in terms of what we like. Like, but the thing is, though, being with him has taught me to appreciate other styles of music. We were in the car the other day, and this really awful sort of community radio station played a song by Aqua that I'd never heard, which was terrible, followed by You're the Voice by John Farnham. And I kind of enjoyed both of them.
What?
Oh, jeez, Courtney.
Just because, you know, it's fine.
We need to get you into quarantine. Yeah. You're becoming tainted, m'lady.
But I'm just open-minded.
I guess
sleep with them, but I'm open-minded.
Good eye. No, that's true. That's true. I gotta say, I find myself being... I am a music snob at a record shop.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Where I'm talking to like other people about it, I'm asking their opinion on certain things and that sort of thing. But if I meet someone who's a civilian, who's not into music as much as I am, it would be just cruel of me to use my powers of music snobbery against them. Yeah. I'm too powerful. Yeah. And I must use my powers for good and not evil. I can't cut down people who are absolute music idiots.
No. See, and that's the thing. You can meet people who are music idiots, but if they're open-minded to liking the bands that I like...
Of course they are.
Then that's fine.
Yep.
That's all right. That's not snobbery. I'm open.
The only time I feel justified in cutting someone down is if something like they're already being a music snob. Like, for example, they'll say to me, "Oh, you know what? I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard this techno version of Iron and Wine song, Such Great Heights. Oh my gosh, it sucked so badly. I couldn't believe it." And then on the inside, I'm like, "Oh, you petty fool. Have you no knowledge of the postal service?" And also just stuff like, I do love a lot of indie music, which includes loving like Saint Etienne. Now, Saint Etienne, they sound a lot like Kylie. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know the nuances and the fact that they were an indie band, you could easily go, "What is this dancey crap?"
Yeah.
And I go, "Dancey crap, my eye. This is classic indie music from the early 90s, I'll have you know."
I think my snobbery's come from the wrong place, that when things become a little bit too popular, I don't like them as
yeah,
much
see that,
anymore.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Because when I was in high school, I used to love the Breeders, and I played the Breeders Cannonball at a house party. Mm. Yeah, it starts off with, oh, ooh, yeah. Oh. All my friends were like, what's that? It sounds like, you know, children's music. Turn it off, put Ace of Base back on. Then over the summer, my friends decided to become a little bit alternative. They went to the Big Day Out. They bought the Triple J Hottest 100 compilation, and they started playing Breeders Cannonball at their parties and singing along, oh, oh, as well. Mm. And by then, I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm over the Pixies. The Breeders, they're no Pixies.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm into the Cardigans now. The Cardigans will never get popular. It's going to be awesome.
I think we should start up a music snob group on the internet called My Music Tastes is Vastly Superior to Yours.com, where everyone can sort of upload their favourite music and then everyone can rate everyone else's music.
That sounds like hell.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I think it'd be great.
I've got to say, I think we may come across as music snobs throughout this segment. it's just an awkward thing. And I just want to point out, listeners to Nonstopical, we also love everything that you love.
Yes, yes.
Oh, you pandering to the mass market, Andrew McClellan. See, I've drawn the line. I've said, I'm open to everything, but I won't sleep with people who don't like this. And I think that's fair. It's open to a point.
I guess in the end, maybe I'm going too far trying to impose my tastes on other people, because on the car trip yesterday when I made that music snob comment, yeah, I saw Nirvana play there back in 92, my friends laughed at me and said, ha, you're so old. In 92, we were 6 years old.
Oh, you got to stop being with those youngsters.
Is Dondo Est Nonstopical.
This is the story of the hurricane. Without a hurricane, but involving Courtney Lawrence and Andrew. Hello, guys. It's the end of the show.
Was that a Bob Dylan song?
Yeah, the hurricane was Bob Dylan song.
You've really done that theme impressively well, I must say.
Oh, thank you kindly. Yes. I try. Mm. Theme?
Look at the Bob Dylan theme throughout the episode.
Oh, thank you very much.
I wasn't saying the hurricane was the theme to our show.
It could be. What? Couldn't it be?
Maybe
you're
next week.
You're on Nonstopical. The song goes like 8 minutes.
Yeah, no, we don't have licensing rights.
Oh, right. Oh, we can't play any music. Yeah, oh, yeah. Do I have to...
No,
this is a whole podcast
have to be
because
you
scrapped.
Sang it.
Oh, I can say
it. It was quoted.
Yeah, yeah. This is purely for reasons of criticism.
If you're from the lawyers of Bob Dylan, you can text message us at +61 416 659 025 or podcast at nonstopical.com. Mm.
We did actually receive a couple of text messages this week, guys. We got one from a person who didn't leave their name, who said that they love the podcast, but there are no rainbows where they are, and they miss their tasty spectrums. Or is it spectra?
Now, good question.
That's a good question, because spectra is the plural of spectrums, but spectrum has a group in it already, right? So surely it's still a spectrum, isn't it? It just has more in it.
Right, maybe. You don't need a plural of spectrum.
Well, I wouldn't think you saying? Would you?
Well,
like if one herd of cats joins another herd of cats, it's still one herd of cats.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yes.
It's not...
Yeah. Yes.
You know, a herd eye of cats.
What if they don't join, but there are a number of herds, like, in a field? There's, like, a herd over here and a herd over there and a...
It's several herds of cats.
Several herds of cats. So
by that definition, there could be more than one spectrums, or more than one spectrum.
Being spectra.
Being spectra, because...
Maybe it's spectra, like the ancient...
No, it's spectra.
Say.
I did look it up.
Oh, well
but
done.
But I'm just questioning the, you know, the need for the word at all, really.
Oh,
and,
like
you know,
it.
I don't actually think the correct title of... A group of cats is a herd, to be honest.
It's a meow. Yeah, I don't care about you, of cats.
Yes.
And we got another one asking where the first 5 episodes of our show went, right? Because they've dropped off the thing because way we've, you know, done
archived it. We don't have enough memory.
Yeah.
We talk too long.
We don't have any money. That's part of the reason.
Yeah. But, you know, it's being looked into, nonetheless. But, the thing that is, it comes with a quote. And instead of showing their phone number, they've managed to put a name in, right? So it doesn't show a number. But the thing is, I think they meant to say the Time Lord, but it only says the Time Low. And it makes it sound like a discount store.
Might be a Chinese guy called Tim Low.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well, the Time Low. But the...
I don't know.
Those people love speaking in third person. Like, the Time Low is sending a text message to Nonstopical now. The Time Low wonders where those 5 episodes are.
The Time Low's question is, what have you stolen from me? Which I think is from a movie.
Mm.
Do you know what movie it is?
What have you stolen from me? Run Like You Stole Something?
Is it Godfather?
No. It's like an old sort of movie.
We should know. Is he science fiction. Or he sort of or she going to be disappointed now?
I suspect so.
Oh, hey.
If you could text us in and tell us what you meant, that'd be good. Because we're not very smart sometimes.
You know what I love? We get so few text messages that yeah. we're willing to put the ones we don't understand to air.
Maybe we've just stolen a lot of his time. He's listening to us and goes, I don't know what these guys are talking about.
That would certainly make his time low. Hey! And on that pun, it's time to say goodbye.
I refuse to endorse that. That's not come with a stamp of approval.
Another episode of Nonstopical draws to a close. Much like Bob Dylan's life, I suspect. I'm not saying I want the man to die.
Oh,
I'm just saying he's old, and that's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for listening in. You have yourselves a great week. Enjoy those flavoured rainbows, Tomlo. And cheerio.
Bye.